Good to see each and every one of you here. Certainly good to be here myself, as always. I'd like to talk to all of you, of course, but there may have been some of you who came here today, as you might most Sundays, as you might every Sunday come. And there's a thought in the back of your mind, I want to do better. I want to increase, you know. I want to increase where I'm lacking. Looking back at last week, I had some struggles. I had some failure, you know. I know I need to be better. All right. Are these some of the things that maybe kind of run through your head? And this is the time, especially I think when folks have those thoughts more so than any other time of the week, because any other time of the week, it's very easy to not be conscious of those things because there's a thousand other things going on. But now we come here and we start to be conscious of the things that maybe we weren't conscious of throughout the week. And we have this, we want to get better. You know, we want to improve, and that's good. But we need to do it, you know, and we have to figure out a way. We have to work out, as Paul told the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There are things that we need to work on to get stronger. He meant work out, not as in working out a math problem, all right? As if we can try to solve the mystery of the universe, you know, as people use that terminology. If we try to solve it, you know, then we'd make it, all right? And it seems like a lot of religion is geared towards that nowadays, is, you know, let's try to increase in some sort of special knowledge. And if we gain a certain level of knowledge far beyond where now people don't even understand what we're saying, they don't even understand when we talk about the Bible, well, that's not it. Work out your own salvation means we work, all right? We put effort and training into our salvation. And so we need to be able to do this. We should be able to be better this week than we were last week. And we should be able to see a progression. Just as anyone who is working out, okay, whether working out their bodies in physical training, strength training, when someone is running, you know, there's a progression throughout, you know, the weeks. When someone is strength training, there's a progression. When someone goes to training for a work or college, there's a progression of knowledge. When someone, you know, now puts that training to use in a job, in a career, and then there's that application of the knowledge and learning how to apply that knowledge now by reason of use, and so there is increasing ability that is happening there as well. This is how it ought to be for us as Christians. All right, and so. But when we come each and every week with the same failures we had last week is the same failures we had the week before that and the week before that and the week before that, maybe for years, maybe for decades. There's a terrible problem there. There is something we are missing. Because we should have been able to leave those failures behind. We should have been able now to have obtained enough strength to be able to leave those failures behind. And we might have new failures before us, new stumbling blocks before us, and we're training and we're working on being strong enough so that those won't be a problem for us anymore. This is how it ought to be. It is a day-by-day progression as a Christian. So if we're not feeling that day-by-day progression, what is the problem? I'd have to say bluntly, we are the problem. It's not God, all right? And it's not His Word. It's not the resources that He's given us that's the problem. We are the problem. We have not put the training in, you know? It's like the strength trainer. It's like the runner who says, why am I not progressing? You know, or in anything in life. Why am I not progressing? I'm not putting the work in. I'm not putting the time in. I'm not putting the effort in. And so when we leave the most important things aside, when we leave our spirituality there to the side, revisiting it only once a week or so, revisiting it here on Sunday, and we realize we've got all those same failures that we had even the previous week and the previous week. The problem is us. And the answer is really simple. It's just a matter of are we going to be convicted enough to make those changes? Because the answer is simple. The answer is training. The answer is work. Work on it. Work on it to become stronger. Let's take a look over at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. This is a chapter that never fails, and it is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It's not only beautiful in language, beautiful in illustration, but beautiful in application. In Isaiah 40, the people of Israel, they've undergone a lot of issues. They've undergone a lot of problems with Assyria. Assyria, by this time, Assyria is, they've wiped out, excuse me, they've wiped out about 10 out of the 12 tribes of Israel, all right? Assyria has been a big problem, but, that's kind of gone. Now they're dealing with Babylon. Big problems with Babylon. Ultimately, Babylon is going to wipe them out, And there'll be just a remnant left. So they've got a lot of problems. They've got a lot of difficulties. And the first thing that we see in chapter 40 is the word comfort. Okay, God speaks to the people, and His word is comfort. Comfort, He says, comfort my people, there in chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort my people, says the Lord. And, He goes on to talk about how in verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and uneven ground will become level, and rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the comfort that God has for the people. I'm going to set things right. I'm going to set things straight. And I'm going to bring in righteousness and glory on a smooth and straight and direct highway. And this is the comfort that He has for His people who have been struggling and suffering. And they've been suffering for their sins, right? I mean, we know what the law said. We know that the law of Moses said that if they look over at Deuteronomy 28, if they would obey the covenant, that God would give them that land and they would dwell there in safety. They would have no fear of enemies, Well, guess what? They've had great fear of the Assyrians. Now they're in great fear of the Babylonians. Ultimately, they're going to be uprooted. What's the problem? They haven't been doing right. You know, their life is a failure. And it's interesting, as their life is a failure, you see the compassion that God has on His people as He looks upon them. And, He reprimands them and He rebukes them in other places. But here, He gives them a word of comfort. So, as really their life, the failures of their life are all of their own fault. All their own fault. It's interesting that they are pointing the finger at other things, other people, and they're even pointing the finger at God. If you look over in verse 25, it says, "To whom then will you compare me?" God says. "To whom will you compare me that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." So again, you look at Israel, like ourselves, if we have, you know, if we feel ourselves a failure, you know, if we feel ourselves to have failed over and over and over again, well, guess what? You know, that's what old Israel was like. You know, they always in a failure. And so when we start to compare ourselves to old Israel, I think a lot of us have read the Old Testament enough to realize that's not a good thing, you know, to compare ourselves to, right? We don't want to be compared to old Israel, because we know that all of their struggles and weariness and pain and affliction was because of their own fault, all right? Because they were not trusting in the Lord. And so their lack of strength came from their lack of trust in God. Their lack of food and water, their lack of comfort, and all of this in different times, their lack of health, all of this was because of their lack of trust in God. Look at His resources, and that's what God is saying here. Look at my resources. Look how big I am. Look how strong I am. I created all things. Look around you, He is telling them. You know, look at all the heavens and all the stars. You can't even count them, but I've named every single one of them. I created every one of them, and I have a name for every single star. You can't even count them. If you spent your entire lifetime trying to count them, you couldn't count them all. I've named them all. I created them all. Everything, you know, He says, "I'm the everlasting God. I'm the creator of the ends of the earth. And I'm not faint. I'm not weary. And as far as how much I know, as far as how much I understand, and as far as how much wisdom I have," He says, "it's unsearchable." Unsearchable. You know, this is the greatness of God. And so, the point being, if they would just stay with the Lord, if they would just trust in Him, you know, they have His might. You know, they don't have to be in this position of failure that they're in. You know, they don't have to be. It's their fault. But notice, they don't say it's their fault, do they? They're in verse 27. Notice what they say. They say, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God. My way is hidden from the Lord. So they're struggling and they're suffering and they're living in failure and they say, God is nowhere to be found. God's not looking at me. You know, he's off somewhere on vacation. You know, he can't see me. Surely if he could see the kind of terrible position that I'm in, you know, he would do something about it. But he's completely disregarded me. He's completely forgotten about me. Isn't that interesting? We see this still to this very day. See that a lot in the world. The world who completely disregards God, and then when failure strikes, what do they say? You know, God's disregarded us. You know? And that's exactly what Israel was doing. We've been disregarded. You know, we in fact, they say, we have rights. You know, we have rights. We shouldn't have to be living this way. This isn't fair. We have rights, but God has completely shoved our rights to the side and disregarded us. He's put our ways away from Him and you know, he's not even looking at us. Not even seeing what we're having to go through here. God points out here in this text is, you know, of all the hosts, if you look back in verse 26, all the hosts of the heavens, which they can be numbered, they cannot be numbered. God has numbered them. God has individual names that He's given to each and every one of them. That is how big He is. And the people are saying, God, you know, our ways are hidden from Him. First of all, Israel, you can be numbered. You know, Israel can take its own census and they can be numbered. You know, any person on the planet could go and number Israel. You know, in fact, every person on the world can be numbered and counted. Have you ever Googled that, you know, on the internet? How many people are on the earth? And right away, what pops up, if you've ever done it? What pops up is a live number, you know, that it constantly is changing every second, you know. And it's kind of interesting to look at. It's somewhere, I don't know, 7 billion, 8 billion, whatever. But mankind can be counted. You know, a census can be taken. So how can we say that God doesn't see us, that God has disregarded us, that God doesn't know us? When God counts the uncountable things, when God is able to search out the unsearchable things. And that's His point to Israel. His point is, I do see what's going on. I know exactly what is happening with you. And so it's not God's fault that they were in the position that they were in. It's their fault. He goes on to show in verse 29, he says, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exalted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so here you have Israel, and they're fainting, and they're struggling, and they're suffering. They have no strength left within them. But look over here, and what does God say? God says, I give power, and I give strength. I increase strength in individuals. So once again, this is not a problem with God. This is not a lack of power on His part, a lack of resources on His part, nor is it a lack of resources on Israel's part. Because they could have God. They could have it all. They could have all the strength that He can provide. But instead, they're struggling, and they're suffering, and they're weak, and they're fainting. What's the problem? God says, look how big I am, look how mighty I am. I can give strength. Anyone who's weak, anyone who's fainting, here's power, here's strength. I can do that. So God's not the problem. Notice who God gives strength to in verse 31. He says, they who wait for the Lord renew their strength. They who wait on the Lord renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on God? You know, the scriptures use several different words, phrases, that all refer to the same thing. Now here, it's wait on the Lord. In other places, it's trust in the Lord. In other places, it's the word faith. It's all the same thing. The idea of waiting on the Lord is the idea of putting our trust in Him, our reliance upon Him day by day. Okay? This is faith. And so what he's talking about here is those who have faith in God, their strength is renewed. Their strength is refreshed. So as they're going along and they start to get faint, nope, here comes more strength their way. And here comes more power. So he even describes this in one of the, I think it's just one of the most beautiful word pictures, you know, in the Bible. This idea of mounting up with wings like eagles. You know, I love that statement because, you know, we may have forgotten this as we get older, but when we were children, we all wanted to fly, right? All right, we all wanted to jump off the roof of the house and not fall, but be able to soar. And, you know, and the idea of an eagle, we don't think of this, you know, for the turkey vulture, you know, but the eagle, you know, that's something we connect with. All right, we don't connect with the buzzards, but we definitely connect with that eagle. I don't know why, you know, but we connect with it. And there's something about the eagle. There's something so stately about it. It's so strong when you look at it, you know, and particularly those bald eagles. You know, when you get a chance on rare occasions to see them, I've been able to see a few in the wild. And I've seen a few, you know, at some zoos and things like that. But no matter what, you see, you know, they just look so strong. You know, they've got their chest puffed up and they look mighty. And then they open up their wings, you know, and they're pretty big, you know. But when they open up their wings, you know, they're 7-10 feet long. They're enormous. And they take off, and they fly, and they fly, and they fly, and fly. And they can go on and on like that, you know. They can fly all day, and they're not tired. Part of it has to do with strength. Part of it has to do with the fact that God created them to be smart, you know. And one thing about eagles is that they make use of the air, and they make use of the atmosphere. And so if you do get a chance to see an eagle flying, you notice a lot of birds, you know. You notice that they're not often up there flapping their wings, you know, a mile a minute to stay up in the air. They don't have to do that. just have their wings out, and there they are. They're just up there. You know, they're making use of thermal, you know, thermal energy as hot air rises, you know, these pockets of hot air all along the way, and they just open up their wings and they're lifted up by the hot air rising, and then they start to soar back down until they're lifted up again by the next pocket of hot air rising, and they can go all day. They hardly ever have to flap their wings if they want to, and there they are, just soaring through the air. You know, an eagle can go 75 miles per hour. We love them, you know. We love these birds. They're absolutely fantastic. And then when God takes this thing which he created, you know, that we all love, and he says, "You trust in me. That's what you're like. You trust in me. You'll mount up with wings like the eagles. You won't be faint. You won't be weary. You open your wings. You set out, and you will soar." You know? It's just a fantastic picture to dwell on as Christians. And we shouldn't quickly forget Isaiah chapter 40. This is one of those we've got to keep in our back pocket. And always remember this. I've got to wait on the Lord. You know, and when I've got struggles and strife in life, and when I begin to faint and grow weary, and when my spiritual life begins to shake, I remember Isaiah 40. You know, I'm obviously not soaring at that time. I've obviously not mounted up with wings like the eagle. What do I got to do? I've got to regain my trust in God. There's the answer. And that's going to be the answer for our life. That's going to be the answer for every problem. We can come and we can talk about, "I have this struggle." And you could say, "Well, I have this struggle." And then someone else says, "Well, I have this struggle and this struggle and this struggle." Okay, well, those are just symptoms. We'll talk more about this tonight. Those are just symptoms of the greater disease, all right? Now, we could try to focus on a symptom. We can try to cure a symptom, you know? I've been having this struggle, and, you know, we might get happy because we worked a little bit and we were able to overcome a particular struggle in our life with our spirituality. All right, but what did we do? We just tried to fix a symptom, but we never cured the disease, and so all kinds of other symptoms are going to resurface in our life. And so the disease is our lack of faith in God. This is what brings us down. This is what ultimately destroys us if we allow it to. So if we wait on the Lord, our strength is renewed. You know, what does he mean by our strength being renewed? You look at an eagle, you know, the feathers on the eagle that you look at, those are not the feathers he had last year. All right? They're renewed. The eagles, you know, they molt every single year, where they slowly shed all the feathers and they gain new feathers. And so the feathers we see on the eagle, even one, you know, that's, you know, 20 years old, you know, been flying around there, you see those feathers, those are brand new feathers, all right? God created them that way, and I don't know all the reasons why God created them that way, but one way he created them was to be able to use them as an illustration for us, to be able to illustrate how he can rejuvenate us, how he can make us youthful again. You know, those old eagles, they have fresh feathers. So you can't hardly differentiate, you know, an eagle that's, you know, 30 years old, 40 years old, from an eagle that's 5 years old, 10 years old. You know, but you look at human beings, obviously you can tell a 5-year-old from a 40-year-old. But with an eagle, you can't. They all look fresh and new every year. And God has created them that way, and we see Him using them here in Isaiah 40. He also uses them in Psalm 103 in the same way when He says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." See that? That's the same point that Isaiah is making. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You look at that appearance of the eagle. Each year, new youth, it grows on them. All right? Brand new, fresh feathers. And so God has used this illustration for us. Those who rely upon Him, they're reinvigorated, you know. They get their youth back, you know. And we all know that the Scriptures are not speaking physically here, okay. We know we're growing older day by day. We know we're starting to waste away slowly in this body of corruption. We're talking spiritually. Spiritually, you know, He says your youth is renewed like the eagle. So the eagle has an outward appearance of youthfulness and renewal. But God is only using that as an illustration for our souls. Okay, the inner man. And here's the thing, though, with a lot of Christians, the problems that we face, probably we all face to one degree or another, is the fact that inner man, it does grow old. And it's not supposed to. But it grows old. And we have all these problems with our relationship with God. We have all these problems spiritually. You know, you look at these scriptures and we realize, I'm not like that. You know, I can feel in my inner man, I can feel in my soul that is just not where I am. I don't have that youthful vigor in my inner being. Well, again, that's the problem. How do we solve the problem? Isaiah has just told us, they that wait on the Lord. Trust Him. Okay, well, you know, that. Are we just making it sound too easy? I don't mean to make it sound too easy. But that is the answer. We'll put our faith in Him. Put full faith, full trust in Him. That is the answer. And so, you can accuse me of giving an easy answer to a very, very challenging problem in our life. But that's all I have, you know, because that's what the Scriptures have. Now, we can talk more about this and we can describe this a little bit better. But that's it. And so there's no secret, all right? There is no secret. It's out there. God has put it in plain language for us so that we can all understand that this is what's missing in our life when we are spiritually failing. Faith. So, how do we take that answer and make it easier to apply to our life? Well, we could talk about several things, but ultimately, there are scores of things. You know, if we get to thinking, if we, you know, pick up a pen and paper and start writing things down, as our mind starts to brainstorm, we come up with all kinds of things about how to make use of this very valuable information we're getting here from the Scriptures. So, how do I get to this point where I'm one who waits on the Lord You know, I'm trusting in Him. I'm relying upon Him in my life fully. Well, how do we trust people? Let's not talk about putting our trust in God yet. Let's talk about how we trust people. You know, I don't trust people. I don't. And I'm very adamant about that because, and it's sad because some people are trustworthy, you know. But you've got to earn. You have to earn my trust. You really do. And you might be the same way. Other people are more trusting. I've run into, there's a few Christians at the top of my head I can think of that are just too trusting to a fault, you know, with people. But, you know, how do we trust in people? How do we reach a point where we have full trust in a person? Number one, you got to get to know them, right? You got to get to know them. You've got to talk to them. You need to talk to them. They need to talk to you. That's the first step right there. Now, we can apply that. That'll go a long way with our relationship with God. How am I going to learn to trust God? I've got to get to know Him. So if I am not putting a conscious effort in my Bible reading and Bible study every single day, I will never get to that point of waiting on the Lord. I just won't. I have to know Him. I have to get to know Him in order to trust Him. And then He's got to talk to me, and that's what we've already been talking about. This is how He talks to me. Let's not wait on Him someday to open up the oven and see Him sitting on a muffin and start talking to me that way. Let's not wait for that day to happen, because it's not going to happen, you know, unless we're crazy. It's not going to happen. This is how He talks to us. God's given us all things, Peter said in his epistle, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. This is right here. So, we got to get to know Him. Well, let's talk to Him. Let's hear what He has to say. I guarantee, if we're sincere about that, if we hear what He has to say, He's given us every word by which we could fully put our trust in Him. but it works both ways. He talks to us, we talk to Him. Isn't that how we really get to know people? You know, is by the fact that we're both talking. All right, so He has a lot to say to us, but we have a lot to say to Him, don't we? So we can't forget that. Now, again, these are just simple applications, but these things go a very long way in our life. And this is what we talked about in the very beginning of this lesson, about working out your own salvation. You know, putting some energy, putting some effort into this relationship with God so that we can grow to trust in Him. So, we're getting to know Him. He's talking to us through His Word. We are talking to Him constantly in prayer. You know, when you first get to know someone, you know, like dating, you know, or predating in particular. There's all kinds of excitement. There's all kinds of tinglies, and you want to talk to that person all the time, right? You know, and so there's as much as you can, trying to talk and back and forth, and gaining more and more information, gaining more and more knowledge. Getting to know someone. We will not be able to trust God if we've not gotten to know Him. So we've got to talk. He's He's got to talk to, he has talked to us. We just got to pick it up and listen. We've got to listen to what he has to say, and he's going to listen to what we have to say when we go to him in prayer. Let's be constant in our prayer. Let's be continual in our Bible reading, and let's build a firm relationship with God. I know, you know, these are the simplest things, right? But when we leave them out, this is where it all begins to crumble, right? These are simple things. I don't mean to act like I'm teaching you something you don't know, because I know you know, all you all know these things. We're just talking about it. Let's go over quickly here. We've got just a few minutes. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at the example of Paul, and let's look at what he has to say. You know, this is a guy who has gone through all kinds of things. He was, you know, beaten with rods. He was stoned. One time he was stoned so badly that, you know, everyone thought he was dead. He was lying there dead. You know, he was, and he was barely alive, but everyone thought he was dead. And he suffered so many things. He was in jail for so many years of his life, persecuted so heavily. He was always being dealt such a heavy hand by the most vile, most wicked people. You know, that really gets to you, right? Well, no. You know, I mean, not so much. Not for Paul. And he explains why. But, you know, he says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 4, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." How can you do this, Paul? You know, how can you be struck and broken down, all these things, but... you know, you're in your inner man, you're completely unaffected by this. Well, in verse 13, notice what he points out. He says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak." Paul tells us why he lives, why he lives. He tells us why he can be struck down, but his inner man is still strong. He says, "Because I've got the same spirit of faith that I saw in the Old Testament." And those guys that spoke in the Old Testament, and they spoke in terrible times as well, they spoke because of their faith in God. And he says, "And I have that same spirit in me." So it hasn't changed. You can read the Old Testament, you can read the New Testament, but the spirit that God wants us to have doesn't change. You can read Isaiah chapter 40, and what does he say? Those who wait on the Lord, those who have that spirit of faith is the point. Those who have that spirit of faith, their strength is renewed. That's why you cannot, in the inner man of Paul, you can't strike him down. You can strike his body down, but his inner man can't be struck down, because inside he has a spirit of faith, just like Isaiah 40. He has that spirit in him of waiting on the Lord and therefore renewing his strength, mounting up with wings like the eagles. In verse 16, Paul says, in conclusion, he says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away." And he doesn't mean by growing in old age. He means wasting away because people are literally beating his body to death. So even though the outer man, he says, is wasting away, we do not lose heart. He says our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's exactly what God said. See, God hasn't changed. That's exactly what he said in Isaiah 40. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. And you will have a renewed strength. And here Paul is saying the same thing, but he's talking by experience. So in Isaiah 40, God's saying, do this and this will be the result. Now Paul is saying, I've done this and this is the result. And it is exactly as God said. I put my faith in Him. My strength is renewed. I have a new strength every day. Day by day, he says. And so this is so important, and this is why Paul says, I don't lose heart. Because we often might think, how could Paul not lose heart? He must be just so much better than us somehow, because he goes through so much and he doesn't lose heart. How is that possible? He just told us that. And it's the same thing that God has taught us throughout the entire biblical record. Paul says, I have the same spirit of faith that you can find in the Old Testament. This is the spirit of faith. I don't lose heart because my faith is in God. I'm trusting in Him. You know, I've learned to trust in Him. I know Him. I know Him. I know who He is. I know His promises. And those things are so much stronger than the things of the world. And, you know, as Jesus put it, what can man do to me? We do not lose heart because we have that same spirit of faith. So, you know, to put it plainly, you know, this is the answer to life's problems, all right? This really is it. This is the bottom line. This is the root of it all. And when we are struggling, when we have all kinds of symptoms of spiritual disease, that disease is our lack of faith in God. And we need to rectify that immediately because it is a wasting disease. It is a life-threatening disease. It must be rectified. We need to come back and come to know our Lord once again. Or if we never have, we need to come to know Him. Spend time in Him, in His Word. Spend time talking to Him. Build your trust in Him to the point where ultimately, as you see in the writer of Hebrews, he talks about the idea of the reason of use, you know, where we've started now to put His Word to use in our life. And now it's not so much just getting to know Him academically, but now we're getting to know Him while we've put His ways to use in our life, and we've established in our life as a pattern that this is the right way. This is the way of strength. This is the way of vigor. This is the way of eternity. And so come to know Him and then put His Word to use in your life. And then you'll come to know that He is one that you can fully trust in. And when you live in that kind of full trust in God, each day your strength will be renewed. You will mount up with wings like the eagles. It's an awesome thought. If there's anyone here who needs the help of the prayers of the congregation, won't you let that be made known? If there's anyone who's yet to come unto the Lord for salvation, but you've come to know Him a little bit, you've come to know Him at least unto the point where you recognize that Jesus is the Lord, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've come to want to give your life to Him so that you can continue to grow in your faith in Him. If that describes your need, then please come forward and let us know while together we stand and sing.